All right. Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick Korn.
And I'm Ryan Truitt.
And welcome to the Elite Coup Studios podcast, Freeware Game Review, Episode 8, N and Frenetic Plus.
Song that I wanted to be the end for this podcast, but I forgot it. But anyway, that's not the point. Hello, audience, if we have one. We are back, despite moving off to college, having nigh insurmountable distances between us. We have once again rejoined to bring you the reviews you have so dearly missed.
Or something like that. As it turns out, the internet makes everyone together as one in stupidity.
As they say, none of us are as dumb as all of us, but I don't think that applies here, because it's the same two of us, so we're just as dumb as we used to be.
So Ryan, I thought that we would share with the listening audience out there two things that we've learned in college so far. Would you like to share one first?
Sure, I guess I can kick things off. I've gained an insight into lemon-lime sodas. This is kind of weird, but, like, I don't know. I came to college liking Mountain Dew, but then when I had the opportunity to drink a whole bunch of Mountain Dew, I realized how vile it was. I think this was really... I tried some of their Mountain Dew game fuel stuff, that nasty-ass orange goop that they're selling, like, to promote Halo 3. I think Penny Arcade brought it up best when they were like, ah, yeah, it's pretty good, as long as you, you know, enjoy the taste of bromine, because they put this nasty-ass brominated vegetable oil in Mountain Dew that apparently makes it thicker. I don't know. This is retarded. Oh, the great learning institutions of America, teaching us to hate soda.
Something like that. I still say that the most important thing I've learned so far is that everyone plays Super Smash Brothers, no matter what.
You play it wrong. Just so you don't get the wrong idea, wrong, in my opinion, is with items off, Final Destination.
I don't know, I could get into items off Final Destination, but like, where's the variety? Where's the fun? It's just the same thing over and over again, and it comes down to who has more skill, which may be admirable, but, you know, where's the chance of luck? How can you root for the underdog if you know that he's just going to rape him with Marth?
Yeah, for serious, like, I can understand competition in more serious fighting games, but I don't understand turning, you know, this sort of cartoony, inherently unbalanced game, because, you know, the characters are unbalanced. Certain characters are just better than others. But, you know, I don't see... I don't know, I just don't understand the really hardcore Smash Brothers scene.
Actually, I had an odd revelation that I thought it was a lot like how I described Little Fighter 2, in which it's a race to see which character can rape the other one first.
Yeah, but not all of them... Well, I guess not all of them are really rapey in Little Fighter 2 also, but if you have, like, Bowser versus Marth, and they're both players of, like, equal skill, Marth's probably gonna win.
That's true, but then again, you know, who plays as Bowser? There's maybe only, like, four or five characters that people consistently play as, and anybody who doesn't play as them is just gonna be like, you know, it's not gonna be serious competition.
Well, exactly, that's my point. I don't... Huh. I don't think it's a game that was made with serious competition intended. Like, I can get into that, you know, with other fighting... Well, I don't know if I really consider it, like, a fighting game of the same type, but, you know, with other fighting games like, I don't know, I guess Tekken or Guilty Gear or something, that's already there. You don't need to fuck with it to get to, you know, actual competitive fighting.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a game created just to say, you know, like, who would win in a battle between these two characters who logically would never meet. Which is, I don't know, kind of like Akira in the sense of, like, you know, laser beam or kinetic powers, you know.
But anyway, that's not what we're talking about tonight, even if, you know, it was a wonderful introduction.
Yeah, it worked well, and I know I said whatever. Okay, let's go in. Which one are we talking about first, N or Frenetic Plus? From this point on, we should probably refer to Frenetic Plus as Frantic Plus, because I never knew that there was a second E there, and so until about 2 days ago when I re-downloaded this, I had always called it Frantic Plus.
Yeah, me too. When you mentioned it the other day, I went and picked it up again, and I saw that E there, and I was like, what the F?
I know, but it makes me miss Frantic Plus, and now we're playing Frenetic Plus, and it's like, what the fuck is this shit?
It's like a totally different game now. I just can't handle it. Where were the bygone days of my youth?
And I think that now that we've built up Frenetic Plus, or rather, Frantic Plus enough, that people are curious about it, I say we begin with N.
Certainly. Bel Air this shit, proper. But anyway, speaking of Tokyo, which is a place in Japan, we are talking about N tonight, which is a game about ninjas, which are also from Japan. Really just one ninja, though.
And this one ninja, well, actually, first, let me just say, there might be people out there who try to convince you that this game is called Endgame. They are wrong, and they need to die. If you see them, hurt them. It's called N. That's what it says on the website, and that's what we know it as. It's called N.
They call it Endgame? What's the deal with that?
They're retarded. That's what the deal with that is.
Alright, so N is a rather simple in presentation platformer, where you play as a ninja trapped in a series of labyrinths that you must escape from.
Here's what N has to say in its little story menu. You are a ninja. Your godlike speed, dexterity, jumping power, and reflexes are all the result of an amazingly fast metabolism. Sadly, so is your natural lifetime of 1.5 minutes. Like all ninjas, you have an unquenchable thirst for gold, a natural propensity for exploring rooms infested by increasingly lethal ninja-killing robots, and a devout ninja system of spiritual, cognitive, and physical training. It emphasizes pacifism, humility, and the need to traverse a series of 5 rooms before the end of your lifetime, a feat known only as beating an episode. In accordance with the techniques of N, it is your profound hope that one day you will develop the skill, intelligence, and inexplicable ability to reincarnate necessary to achieve mastery of all 100 episodes.
So really, this is a game with no illusions about itself. It's very simple from the beginning. You're in a place, there's a switch that opens a door. Repeat.
Yep, except sometimes there's troubles, because the more switches with more doors, and switches that close doors on you, which could really suck if you're being chased by 12 rockets at once, and a Gatling gun robot.
Now, yeah, like Nick is talking about, your quest is impeded by a variety of robots, which range from... Oh, shit, they have names. I don't know the names. Little domed things that chase you like puppies along the floor. Thwumps. To chain gun drones and sentries and stuff.
There's the pusher robot and the shover robot.
The shover robot pushes the blind people around.
Right, something like that. But anyway,
well, this is a game that I like sort of as a general, I don't know, it's something easy to get into for short periods of time, as the ninja's lifespan, you know, suggests. But it sort of has, I don't know, I like the replay value that's associated with it because there are a lot of episodes. I believe they said like 100.
Yeah, well, see, the trick about this game is that it all takes place in a small box on a 2D field. So what they included with this is they included a rather simple level editor, which over the various versions and incarnations, they've been adding in user-created levels, which is how they got so many of them. There's still even more user-created levels that they built in a little, like, internet browser for, so you can just immediately play from directly in-game.
So once you, you know, master the skills of N, which is basically avoiding mines and jumping up walls, which is fun. I don't know what I was going to say there. Even if you get stuck on, like, you know, the normal campaign, whatever, episode levels, you can go out and get more, you know, if you find something that's just completely impassable for you. So you never really get to a point where you're just, like, stuck anywhere.
Well, sometimes you do, but they break it up. It's 100 episodes and 5 levels per episode. But then you can choose, start, like, at any end of 10 episodes, I think. So, like, there's basically 10 different acts that you can start from. And if you get through all of them, then you're a freaking master of the game. Or you could just get through a couple in each, or however you want to do it.
Yeah, really, it's more a collection of, like, standalone, episodes than any sort of, like, continuous, contiguous thing, you know. You have timed life, which is increased by, like, 2 seconds or so every time you pick up gold, but this timed life doesn't carry over for any more than 5 individual levels. So they're all very self-contained little packets. So it's almost like, it's sort of like a platforming game WarioWare, where you have, you know, just small little tasks, and then, oh, reset and try something new.
Yeah, there is that very sort of sense that, like, you will not live very long. You must go into the game accepting this, and you'll have to start over a lot. But then, you know, sometimes you just get into the groove. You may get, like, 2 or 3 levels out right in a row, and you just go for it. Especially because, you know, as soon as you pick it up, most of the controls are very sort of intuitive. So you start the game, and immediately you're jumping, you're bouncing, you're wall riding, you're kicking off, and you can go from the bottom of the level to the top of the level and just be like, how did I do that? That was cool.
Yeah, the game has pretty intuitive controls, these controls being up, down, left, right, and shift. And it also maintains a sort of, like, not a sense of urgency, but a sense of speed in that, you know, your character itself, you know, moves really fast. You have a good deal of control over it, even when, you know, you're falling through the air. But also that you have that timed life, it kind of gives you a sense of, okay, I gotta blow through here really fast. I gotta run up there, I gotta hit that switch, I gotta jump down there, dodge that robot, and get through the door, all in 30 seconds.
Yeah, so you find yourself, like, as soon as the level loads, like, on your first try through, you, like, may just go and try to pick a path, or you could try to plan your entire path through, only to find that a certain switch you'll hit will completely mess you up halfway through, and then you have to replan and try again.
It's almost, in a way, like short little puzzles, because, you know, there's definitely certain ways to get through certain levels that are, you know, better than others.
And also something that I really like about this game is, you mentioned the sense of urgency, but at the same time, it's the way your character dies has some of the, like, most humorous death timings ever. Because since everything occurs in this little box on the screen, you will see everything that's about to happen, and you get that little, like, death air time where you're like, there's no way I'm going to avoid that mine. Tick, tick, tick. Yeah, I exploded into 18 pieces.
Yeah, it's really good because a lot of the drones, their attacks are unavoidable in certain ways. Like, the chain gun drone, it fires bullets really fast. And the missile drone, it, you know, fires homing missiles. And the laser drone sets up just, like, a short laser wall for a certain amount of time so that you can't cross. So if you're, you know, jumping towards this, or, you know, towards one of these things, or, you know, a laser drone comes right around the corner and crosses a laser right across your path, you're like, oh, oh shit, oh shit. And you're just kind of hanging in air until you get burned in half by the laser, and it's just like, oh, saw that coming.
And then as soon as that happens, like, everything just sort of, like, lets go. Your character either goes limp or explodes, and then you get to watch the body and body pieces just, like, bounce around on the level as all the drones continue going about their daily business.
Yeah, and it's funny because some of the drones, they seem, like, so nonchalant when you're not there. Like, there are certain ones that will chase after you if you cross your path. But the second they hit you, they just, you know, turn back to their normal path and go about their business. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and aside from that, the game is just sort of, the simplicity that they made the game with gives it a very stylistic visualness. I mean, your character has absolutely no details except, like, being able to tell it's a vaguely human form. There's only maybe six colors being light gray, dark gray, black, red, light blue, and gold. So everything is just very sort of streamlined and just looks really nice. And the way that you design the levels, there's, like, a set amount of pieces, but I don't know where I'm going with this thread now.
Well, it does have a very simple visual style, but it also gets the point across right away. Like, you are a ninja, so you're black. And, you know, the robot, it's going to shoot you, so it's red. You know, it kind of lets you know right away. It's like, there's the gold. How can you tell? Because it's a gold square.
Yeah, and seeing all that gold really makes me want to go back and play Lode Runner.
Alright, so N gets points for its simple visual style that doesn't hamper the gameplay in any way. You never like, oh, what's that? Oh, it killed me. I guess that thing was bad. It gets points for some pretty engaging levels sometimes. Like, the different things in the game can interact in interesting ways. Like, you'll have to jump on top of a thwomp after it falls down to climb up to a certain area or something. Good level design throughout it, really.
Yeah, it gets, well, everything we do always seems to get points for this, but it definitely gets points for creatable content, because some of the stuff that they make is really awesome, and then some of the stuff that you can find that other users have made are awesome. Like, people have discovered that if you place the player between a wall and a thwomp coming backwards and you crush him, it will send the player out with extreme velocity, and so people are starting to use that in their level designs to make it just do some really interesting tricks.
Alright, so now when we say points, we don't really mean points. We mean, you know, it's good. You're not going to find a rating scale here. But, yeah, so that's N. Good, clean, simple platformer with a lot of content in it.
Yeah, I guess I'll put a link to the webpage up here. And just so you know, the entire game is in a standalone Flash player, which means that it's really not like system intensive. So it's a good thing to pick up even if you don't have a high-end computer. And, you know, all things considered, it's really, really, like we said, it's very stylistic. So being, you know, low requirements but looks really pretty is, like, just cunning on the makers.
Alright, so the other game that is in our focus tonight is Frantic Plus.
Yes, Frantic Plus. Let me ask you something. Do you like mechs?
Yeah. You mean like giant robots, right?
Oh yeah, giant robots. Especially the ones that got the missiles and the chain guns and the plasma shotguns. These are all good things, right?
Yeah, those things sound pretty good.
Well, then that's the first reason that we know that Frantic Plus is an awesome game.
Yes,
because originally, there was this guy. Let me go look up who he is. I'll be right back.
My jingle doesn't go on for any longer. If, you know, there's just going to be dead air until he comes back. I'm really sorry, Internet.
Okay, I found out what his forum name is. But it's on his own forums, so I say we use it. So anyway, there was this guy named Sirocco. And a little while ago, he made this game called Frenetic. And now Frenetic was a little arcade shooter where you get to choose between three robots, you get to choose between two main guns, and you get to choose between two secondary guns. And there were six levels, and you just go through, just trying to survive all the way to the end. And it was pretty fun.
But
it was really short. Now, A little while later, I don't really know how long because I was not introduced to these games chronologically. A little while later, he came back with a game called Frenetic Plus, heretofore known as Frantic Plus. Yeah, okay. Frantic Plus had everything that the original Frenetic had, except they added in, or rather, he added in more weapons, more sub-weapons, missiles, more robots, and a storyline. Plus, he upped the number of levels from 6 to 33. And he added a save feature, which is something that people were cry about, because the game, although simple, could get frustratingly hard if you're not a very good endurance player.
Yeah, so this game is pretty straightforward in its, presentation, I guess. Did I say that about N2? Maybe this phrase is just stuck in my mind. I don't know. But you have a giant robot, and you can buy weapons and upgrade your robot and get new, you know, robot suits, and you just go out there and you kick the asses of other robots.
Right. Now, the game is a... I was actually thinking about comparing it to Doom, in the sense that it's got a pseudo-3D engine, where all of the characters and bullets and stuff like that are all 2D, but they're on a sort of 3D plane, or rather semi-3D, as in you can turn around 360 degrees, and it's sort of isometric, so not completely top-down.
Yeah, it's a sort of curved field.
But the thing is that the only things on the field are you, the enemies, and the bullets. So it's very... It almost sounds like it would be boring, but they throw enough enemies at you that you have to constantly be weaving in between bullets. You gotta line up your shots so you could strife, or you could turn and try to line up your shot, but you always gotta be moving and dodging and weaving. So it's a very... It's somewhat slow, but at the same time, it's slow enough that it just lets you get into the zone of, like, high-intensity playing.
Yeah, the game starts off slow. I believe the first level just has, like, three waves of the most basic robot, but after that, they just keep ramping up the difficulty until you've got, you know, waves of shotgun robots and missile robots and these crazy sniper things that spin around. They don't let you hit them ever. Grr. But beyond this, it has lots of... Well, not lots of, but it's got a degree of customization and also a fair amount of, like, atmosphere and backstory in the form of, like, news stories, mail, and just other things you get about this intergalactic war that you're fighting in.
Well, let's save the story for last, because I think the story is surprisingly deep for a game like this, and although it's presented in the, again, Doom style, here's a wall of text before each level begins, it's the kind of thing that sort of, like, makes you think, like, he read a philosophy book once.
Yeah, like, I had been playing it recently and not reading through a lot of the news, you know, news stories because I just wanted to get to the gameplay. I had played this game before and I was like, okay, I've paid my dues. I read this once. Let's get down to business. And then, you know, just one time I opened up the little mail folder and I was like, whoa, 20 things. I just played, like, four levels. That's a lot of words. But, yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Right. Now, when you start the game, you get... What is it? You get your two weapons, maybe two different suits, and, like, two sub-weapons. As you progress through the levels, you get... eventually, it'll just automatically unlock more suits. But as far as the weapons and suit upgrades go, as you destroy enemies, you gain scrap, which is the game's monetary value.
Yeah, and then you take this, and you take it to different... to, like, the little customization... menu thing, I suppose, because it's not really a shop or anything, because the whole out-of-battle game takes place in this weird sort of AI construct thing, I think it is.
That's probably what it is. It's basically, it looks kind of like a big hand floating in a pool of psychedelicness, and you just sort of walk around and you stand on these little platforms, and that's how you switch between the, like, the news menu, the options menu, the shop menu, and the gameplay thing.
Yeah, so you can buy weapons in three different categories corresponding to light, medium, and heavy suits. In addition, you get a number of sub-weapons, which there's really a good variety of. And then missiles, which they all act the same, but there's, you know, a big missile that does a lot of damage and like a swarm of missiles and stuff like that. So there's a good variety of weapons that lend to different playing styles.
Yeah, I mean, I have my own playing style, which is to have the really strong single shot gun for my main, and then a spread fire for my secondary, and then swarmer missiles. So, and then this is all in a really heavy suit. How do you like to play?
I like to take a medium sized suit with a good like repeat fire weapon, and then I like the steel halo, the sub-weapon that's the big spread of shots, and also swarm missiles too, because I only use missiles on those really fast guys that dodge well, and you need to be able to hit those guys, they'll chew you up.
That's true. Although, I don't know, I'm kind of good at dodging them, so I usually spend my missiles shooting at the yellow guys who shoot missiles, because if you don't get them, you can shoot missiles as they're coming towards you, but in order to be able to pay that much attention to differentiate between missiles, it's just easier to take them out of the way first, or you will get owned.
Okay. So, aside from that, the weapon customization, well, it's not weapon customization, there's, you know, a wide variety of weapons to choose from. I don't know, aside from that, what else do you think this game offers that is, you know, notable in it?
Well, I actually kind of like the fact, and I read this, I think it was in the README somewhere, is that, like, for your customization stuff, when you shoot an enemy, when they die, they have this little lapse period where they, like, spark and fizzle before they finally explode. And if you can, you know, manage your shots correctly, you will, if you hit them just enough so that they die, you will get more points than if you shoot them a lot more once they're already sparking and dying. And so, but the trick is that even if you get the most efficient shots on all the levels, the creator said that you will not have enough money to buy all of the weapons and upgrades in the game. So you actually have to, like, think about how you want to play and decide on your style.
Yeah, that's just something I noticed, that it kind of, it requires more control in, you know, the way you play to really progress in the game, because to get the better parts and everything, you can't just, you know, shoot the crap out of every enemy until it explodes. You have to really manage it, like, you know, the more you damage an enemy beyond its maximum health, the less scrap you're going to get from it to get, you know, new weapons. So you really want to manage, you know, how you shoot things. It's like, oh, did I already shoot that guy once or twice? I don't want to waste a missile on him then, because then I'm not going to get any scrap. So it kind of, it requires you to make some, like, snap decisions right in the middle of everything, if you're saving up to, you know, get a certain big gun or something.
Right, and then they also have, at the end of each level, they'll give you awards based on your performance during the game. So, like, if you don't get touched and you don't use any missiles and you have the most efficient shots, it'll give you, like, an untouchable bonus, a frugal bonus, and a marksman bonus. So, and then but then they'll also give you bonuses, like, you know, if you make it out of the level with, like, under 10% health. And there's just, like, a lot of different bonuses that accumulate and will, like, they don't really do anything other than just to say you have them. But it's kind of cool to look at my screen and go, hey, I made it through 20 levels completely untouched. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's sort of the same thing you get with, like, the achievements on Xbox games. They don't really, you know, accrue to mean anything. It's just like, oh, that's what I did this time around. Look at that, I'm a marksman. Go me.
Right. The only other thing I can really think of, before we move on to the story, is there's one thing that really sort of tripped me up near the end of the game. Because there's the last suit you get actually changes, and I'm not sure what it changes depending on, because I finished the game and there's one suit I didn't get, but I got the one called Diabolique, which is a heavy suit, which I guess I got because I always use heavy suits, but there's another suit and I don't know what it is and I'm not sure how to get it, but I assume it's sort of angelic in nature, so I would love for somebody to tell me what that suit is.
I'm not sure about that. I don't think I've ever gotten that far into the game, but I didn't know that it had that sort of conditional outcome thing to it. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, this guy put, like, a lot of thought into it, which, you know, is really admirable.
I mean, hey, Bioshock's getting hailed for that these days, you know? It's like, oh, the deep moral choices.
Save the child or eat her soul, if my understanding of Bioshock is correct.
Yeah. God. The hype around that game is kind of pissing me off a little, because in the end, you... Well, I don't want to spoil it, I guess, but you really don't have as much choice over the ending of the game as you would be led to believe.
Yeah. Well, the thing about me that pisses me off is that I finally downloaded the demo since I had a real computer to play it on, and I've been watching other people play it on their computers and on their 360s, and it just pisses me off because it feels like it feels like less than a mediocre shooter. It just happens to be really pretty and atmospheric.
Well, I think you kind of have to want to get into that setting and the storyline of it to really, enjoy the game that much, which might be a flaw in it, that it doesn't automatically make you go, oh, wow, this is really cool. But I think if you're, you know, going into it thinking, I'm going to enjoy this, then you'll get what you want out of it.
I suppose. It's just like, really annoyed me that there are, like, these just, like, random vending machines all over, and, like, I know you don't have to, but, like, if a corpse is there to scavenge, I'm gonna scavenge the corpse. But then it's just, like, worthless stuff that I never got a chance to use, and it just seemed, like, really boring. Like, you can do all this interesting stuff, but there's never any reason to. It's just, like, you know... Like, I'm definitely one for, like, choice in how you want to play your game, but you have to sometimes at least force the user to do it a certain way, but then not do it in a way where, unless they get it just right and have to figure it out on their own, then they're never going to proceed, which that actually happened to me at one point.
Yeah, that's actually, like, the inverse of what you just said was actually one problem that I have with the game, is that you can't really choose... Well, I'm not basing this on my own personal opinion. I'm going on someone else with this, but they might be wrong. But I understand that you can't actually choose not to use the plasmids, because they become essential to simply pass through certain points.
Yeah, I actually played that point, because what happens is that you get... Like, you get your wrench, and then the next thing you get is a plasmid. And the problem is that you have to walk, pick up the syringe, and then it gets in you, and then it goes to a cutscene, and then you have to use the electric plasmid to shock the lock on a door in order to proceed to the rest of the game.
Now, if your game is all about moral choice, like, if, you know, am I going to give up my humanity to, you know, become powerful and stuff, and then it forces, you know, these powers onto you, there's no moral choice there anymore. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm not human anymore. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, but we can cover Bioshock and its successes and failings on a different show, because now we're going to move on to the story of Frantic Plus, which is surprisingly deep for being so simplistically presented and conceptually tacked on, I suppose.
I don't actually know all that much about the story, so if you want to finish this up yourself, my roommate's actually, like, taking a nap right now, so I think I might go take a shower and get some dinner.
Alright then, I'll try to make this quick. The story to Frantic Plus is presented in the very, here's a block of text, read it and then go shoot stuff style, but at the same time, it isn't just, you know, there are robots, go shoot them. It's more of, it actually follows the path of a single Merkin 505 unit, which is basically the current incarnation of Battle Androids in whatever year this game takes place in. I didn't really pay attention to that. But basically, you are at one side of space, the home planet is at the other side of space. You receive a call that the home planet is being invaded, so you basically have to race the invading armada to the home planet to try and save everyone. Now, the rest of your unit has already been wiped out. You're the last one left. And this game really, really emphasizes the isolation point of view of this game. I mean, I really want to stop making comparisons to Doom, but since I'm already doing it, I might as well. I think this game makes you seem more isolated than Doom did. How does it do this? Well, there is just the fact that you never see any teammates, but it's actually more in the fact that all of the all of the story interactions, there's not even a third-person narrator. It's actually just the thought process of the main character. Yeah, android thought process, there's something like that, which brings up interesting ideas of philosophy, but the end of the game, I won't spoil it for you, but I think it has a really interesting ending that is there just to deal with the psychological, philosophical standpoints on androids and thought processes. But aside from just the fact that nobody else is around, the only communications you receive are emails through the ship's computer. And now, you never actually directly talk with somebody. You basically get bulletins, like, you know, a newspaper headline or e-newspaper or whatever. But then any actual, like, point-to-point communications you get are just automated messages from the ship's computer. So you never talk to anyone. It's just you, yourself, alone out here in the universe trying to get across the great expanse of space. So it's really interesting. It's surprisingly atmospheric. The game does, in fact, take you across numerous landscapes and gives a little bit of, not necessarily backstory for East, but it's like, okay, now we're going to head across the plains of New Flanzar or whatever. And then, you know, you're fighting on a desert planet and or above it or in the atmosphere. And I don't know, it really does try to, like, follow the fact that, like, even though it's not a human main character and it's an android, there's, like, you can see draining on the mind and trying to come to terms with your own existence. And I don't know, if you don't pay attention to it the whole way, then the ending may not mean anything to you. And as far as all the emails and things, you could probably just ignore them and just read what's before each level. But if you do read those and you try and follow along at least a little, then the ending can be kind of meaningful if you so choose it to be. But aside from that, there's not much to the story on this game. I would like to take a minute here just to, first of all, apologize for the shitty quality of this entire podcast, except for this section I've done right here. Me and Ryan are, of course, trying to bridge the great expanse between Troy, New York, and Oneonta, New York, which kind of difficult. Right now we're using TeamSpeak, or TeamSpeak RC2, to try and do this, which kind of works, I guess. You can be the judge of that. But if you wanted to give us any feedback on how to do this, any other feedback on the show, maybe you know a better way to do this. Maybe we're just stupid and we should give up or whatever. Just drop us a line at podcast@olitkustudio.net. The website is, of course, olitkustudios.net/podcast if you want to visit our homepage with our archives and such. And aside from that, we are going to try to do this regularly again, but no promises on if that'll work. I mean, this was hard enough to do, and any further, I don't know. But we are going to try. We do not want this to end so quickly.
Yeah, sure. Just before we end, I'd like to say Dokutsu Monogatari, also known as Cave Story. I'm finally playing it after, you know, I've probably known about this game for a long time, and it's really good, and we'll probably be talking about it later.
Alright, so, yeah, I suppose that it. Coming to you from our respective colleges, maybe, hopefully, we'll be doing this more often now, if this actually turns out to have worked.
Yeah, if this turns out to have worked, that'll be great. I could see us doing this on a weekly basis again.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I don't know, most of my days are busy except for Wednesday, but Wednesday is the day I should probably do schoolwork, since I'm not sure how much schoolwork I've actually done so far.
But anyway, we can talk about this later. Close it up.
Alright, for the Liku Studios podcast, this has been Nick Korn
and Ryan Truitt.
And we will catch you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Insert funny stinger here. Son of a bitch, I am.